you. Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready.
Oh yes, the day of reckoning has arrived. Well, it arrives Sunday. For our purposes, it arrives right now. It's the Mike Missanelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. All week, there has been consternation in this city. All week that we have debated the Wentz-Foles situation, and now it's over. Wentz is no longer part of the picture. This is all Nicky Foles' deal here, and he's got to pull it off again. From the calls we took this week, I don't think there's any question that the fan base is confident that he will pull it off again, and I hope you're right. I want to see this season continue, because if they lose, Minnesota wins, the season's over. So it's time to put up or shut up. All this bragging you've done about Nick Foles, and a lot of you have said that, in fact, he is better than Carson Wentz, and that they should trade Carson Wentz and root with Nick Foles. Now is your time to step up and tell me why they're going to win this game. Tell me about your feel. Right, Nick Foles is going to bring this through again against a team that, frankly, might be a little better than the Eagles, at least judging by their record, by the fact that they were able to win 9 straight games. That's not easy. That tells you they're a consistent team with a good coaching staff. So, there are people that have gotten angry at this. I've taken a lot of emails from the Wentz people that have gotten really angry about all the bragging on Foles. I don't get angry about this. So you feel the way you feel, right? If you like Nick Foles better than Carson Wentz, I'm a live and let live type of guy. You know, I happen to see it one way. You guys see it another way. That's fine. That's what makes the world go round. Disagreements, various viewpoints. But I will tell you that, and I'm going to give it to you right at the start of the show. For some reason, I don't have a good feel for this game. And I know what you're going to say. Well, Mike, you hate Foles. That's why you don't have a good... No, it's not that. I this game, even when Carson Wentz was the quarterback, was scaring me down the road. There was something about this game that I look at as a derailment. And I hope I'm wrong, and I want you to tell me why I'm wrong. There's one thing I'm looking at here. Actually, two things. And one is that this Texans team stops the run. We all know how important the running game was last week for the Eagles, how they were able to control the field, how they were able to then put pressure on Jared Goff, who kind of coughed it up. And one goes kind of hand in hand. This team, this Texans team, stops the run and gets immense pressure from the corners on the quarterback. Now, that might suit Foles well, because he's a pocket type of guy. He's not going to get outside the pocket anyway. That's where the pressure is coming through. But I see this as a deadly combination. If they can't run and the Texans get pressure on the quarterback, I'm not seeing the freedom that he had last week. And I hope I'm wrong. I can only go by feel. Listen, I'd love to sit here and wave an eagle pom-pom. It's not my style. I hope they can win the game. I don't have a good feel, and I got to give it to you at the start of this this show. So, and I'm not, believe me, don't start. I'm not rooting for them to lose so I can be right, which is what a lot of people think. I hope Foles plays a great game. I just worry about the team falling short against the Texans. That's all. Now, Tyrone, you have a different spin. I'm a little more benevolent. You have very little benevolence in your heart.
Yeah, no.
You are, in a lot of ways, a Grinch-type character.
That's fair.
Yeah. And so you are, you have been perturbed, to say the least, at the reaction this week from the Civil War that has been created. Now, I heard a lady caller on with our previous show of Anthony and Jason say that we have caused this controversy, that we have perpetuated the Foles-Wentz divide, that we have created a civil war of sorts. We are merely a reflection of what we hear out there, right?
Exactly.
So it's an issue. We do Sports Talk Radio. We talk about it. But you have been actually perturbed by the Nick Foles people, and I want you to explain to the audience why.
Well, for a couple of reasons. One, they don't watch football, the Nick Foles people. They don't watch the games. They don't watch the throws each guy makes. They don't watch the games. They just sit there and just bloviate about Foles and down Carson blindly. They don't care what actually happened. They don't care if there was block. They don't care about any of that stuff. Facts mm-hmm. don't matter to the Foles people. That's what bothers me about them. They're all emotion. Now, emotion is part of sports, but it's not the only part. And Foles people go solely on emotion. They don't use facts or figures or anything to make their points. And I can't stand that. I just can't. I can't deal with it. As far as the Civil War, though, you and I have always been consistent in saying Carson Wentz is more talented. We say mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Then the Foles people then call and say, no, that's wrong. And that's where the Civil War starts. It's a fact that Carson Wentz is better. So the Civil War only comes when the Foles people dispute facts. And that's why they make me mad. If they just said, Wentz is better, but I like Foles. Mm-hmm. I like him more. I could live with that. It's stupid, but I could live with it. But instead, what they say is they dispute facts. Every number this season, every number, if you include last season and this season combined, including Foles' Super Bowl run, say that Carson Wentz is better than Foles at everything. And rather than they say, but Foles won a Super Bowl, and I can accept that, they say, no, I'm wrong about all the stats that I have that are facts. You're an idiot. And that's why I can't stand them. I don't like them.
All right. That's fine. But you see, I've been in this business a lot longer, and so I know why they do it. All right. And I'm not going to react and dislike them for that. Here's why they do it. Because all fans are human beings. And fans like to make their own judgments on people. Like, we sit here and we make judgments and we're supposed to be the experts. And like I say, this is the only job that people out there that we're actually talking to think they can do a better job than us. Therefore, they think they can make judgments better than us. And, you know, whatever. You know, I think that discredits us in a little bit because this is actually our job and we spend more hours with it than the average fan would be. The average fan looks in on it. We're 24/7. But it's the only job that people think they can do just as well as us, and therefore they can make their judgments just as well as us. And that's fine. I'm willing to perfectly accept that. So in this situation, with Nick Foles, a certain semblance of the fan base, I don't know if it's the majority or not, the majority has ID'd their guy as their guy, which makes them have a feather in their cap. Like, their judgment is now justified more than someone else's judgment who is supposed to be doing it for a living. So, and I totally understand that. And therefore, when they make a judgment on a player and embrace that player as their own, they will defend that player at all costs. It's human nature. I'm not fooled by it. I know what it is, exactly what it is. And I'm not going to get mad at you for it. People have an identity with certain players for a certain reason. It becomes their guy. Like, I use probably a bad example. The TJ McConnell example is, I think, a relevant example. They have identified him. They identify with him, and they have identified him as the guy that they discovered. And when you think you discovered somebody, you obviously want to protect that person. And in a lot of ways, you make him better than he really is. But that's perfectly understandable. That's human nature. I'm not going to get mad at people for that. You get angry at him.
Well, because I feel like you're slightly hypocritical when you say that,
what
Mike.
What do you mean?
Your entire focus lately has been trying to get these fans to evolve, to take a step forward.
Listen, do I think they're wrong? Absolutely. I think they're absolutely 100% wrong when they make these kind of judgments. But I understand why they make the judgments. Even though they're misguided judgments, I understand why they make the judgments. Because everybody wants to discover something.
I get it. But what I think you're asking them to evolve, I'm demanding that they evolve.
But sometimes you got to throw your hands in the air and say, they're not going to evolve because this is the business that we have chosen, to quote Hyman Roth, right? This is the business we have chosen. We have chosen a business where everybody out there that we're talking to thinks they know more than we do. There's nothing we can ever do about that.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that.
I can't go. Like, it's so different. I can't think of another profession. Like I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. Like he's a pit master, right?
Yeah.
And so he brings over some ribs. Now I go, man, these ribs are unbelievable. Now I cook a lot.
Yeah, you're a food guy.
But if I were to go over his house as he's smoking ribs and he's preparing the dry rub and stuff, and I go, I know better than you about ribs. I would be stupid. And that's just a simple thing. I'm telling you, the higher the job you get, like somebody couldn't walk into a law office and say to the lawyer, guess what? I know more about the law than you do, and therefore I can be a better guy in court and litigator than you can. Right? You can't do it.
Right.
But here, everybody is making the judgments, and you want to be able to discover through your eyes your guy. And that's what they've done to Nick Foles.
And you feel comfortable living with it, and it eats me up inside. It makes my skin crawl.
There's nothing I can really do about it. I try to influence people in a certain way, but I know that I have limitations as far as influencing people in a certain way. To me, it becomes simple. I use my eyes to determine who is the better talent. And I think in my experience of covering games and playing games, I have a pretty good semblance of who is a real talent and who's just an average talent. So I rely on my instincts that way.
Yeah, and you're correct about that more often than not when it comes to talent. But why do people push back on you when you know? And if they're going to fight you, fine. At least come with a works cited page so I can say, okay, sure, you're right. Don't just give me your silly emotion, because then I have to just dismiss you.
They're not just giving you silly emotion. They're giving you, they'll cite statistics.
Yeah, but they're not
good
stats.
They'll skew them your way. All the statistics in the world can't change your eye perception if you know who's talented, who's really talented, and who's just okay talented. Right?
Yeah.
It's really simple. So I understand where it comes from. And I don't want to get angry about this. The Eagles are now in a fight for their lives. I'm on record saying I want them to make the playoffs desperately. It's better for the fan base than not making the playoffs. And before they got on this little run here, people saying, "I don't care if they make the playoffs. They're not going to do anything anyway." It's really not the point. I want them to get to the plateau. And they might not do something once they get to the plateau. But I want to see them win this game. And I want to see them win the next game. And I want to see them beat out the Minnesota Vikings for the sixth seed. I want to see that. I don't have a good feel for Sunday. I'm sorry. 610-632-0975. We'll talk about it. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. That's how you get in. Take your calls after this.
While another must-win for the Eagles, I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this update is brought to you by the Rosenbaum Injury Law. The power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. In 2 days, the Eagles will kick off yet another must-win game, this time at home against the Houston Texans at 1 o'clock. A win against Houston would continue their playoff push, but they need to have some help from the help around the other teams around the league. The Cowboys face the Buccaneers in Dallas this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Dallas leads the Eagles by one game in the NFC East. The Vikings, who hold the second wildcard spot, face the Lions in Detroit. And the Seahawks host the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. The Eagles trail them by one game for the first wild card spot. On the ice, the Flyers pull one out against the Predators last night, 2-1. Goals were scored by Jake Voracek and Claude Giroux, and the rookie Carter Hart is now 2-0 in his career. He saved 31 of 32 shots last night. Manny Machado was in town yesterday meeting with the Phillies. His meeting at Citizens Bank Park lasted about 4 hours, and then he went out with the leaders of the team for dinner. Keep it locked right here on the Fanatic for all updates on Machado. Brian Westbrook joins the Mike Missanelli Show today for the entire 4 o'clock hour, and the holiday wheel spins at 5 o'clock here if your name is called at 450. This update is also brought to you by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. Sponsored by State Farm. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier to hear any of our shows you missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or the Fanatic app for daily best of show podcasts. I'm Andrew Salchunas on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hi, right, 221. Mike Fasanelli's show. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin Equipment Parts and Supplies for every heating and cooling job. This is your new location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today. Time to start the Twitter poll. Miss Natalie off today. Andrew Salchunas working OT today. Andrew, the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. From robotic lawnmowers to zero-turn to conventional riding mowers, if it goes in your shed, Moyer has it. Need parts or service, they've got you covered. Andrew.
Hello, Michael. The question today is, how much pressure is on Nick Foles to win this game on Sunday for the Eagles? Three options. 20% say a lot. He's the franchise guy. 52% say some. He's a backup quarterback. 28% say none. It's a team game.
All righty then. I just got an email based on our opening soliloquy, which kind of makes my point that everybody believes they know more and or just as much and discovers people and make their own judgments. Rich, Mike, you're wrong. It's like bleep holes. Everyone has one. So don't take it personal and tell your coworkers that just because you're on the radio, you're spelled Y-O-U-R, it doesn't mean you know more about everyone else that calls or talks to you on the street. Well, there you go. Makes my point. This is a job that everybody thinks they can do and everybody thinks they know better.
But you took that wine class, right?
Yes.
You
talked
about, now, if you when I go to a restaurant, I don't know a lot about wine. Mm-hmm. So I take a person's recommendation about it because that person's put time in to know about it. Mm-hmm. What we do here, more than a person who just watches, is we put in a lot of time. It's disrespectful to dismiss the amount of time you especially have put in, but I've been doing this for a little while now. And think that you, who do something else, I mean, God bless you, just knows more. It's disrespectful.
Well, it is. But again, you can't take that personally because that's what people think. And if you really do it logically, you go, okay, fans will occasionally watch a TV game on TV. The people that cover it actually have seen, like in my case, and I didn't even want to go into it. It's not even worth it. And my point is, So there are some people that look at Nick Foles and say he's better than Wentz, and then some people look at Wentz and say he's better than Foles. Now, to me, there shouldn't even be a conversation on who is the better player. There's not even a conversation. If you really know sports, like you say you do, and you look at the talent levels of both players, there's no way you could come to a conclusion that Nick Foles is a more talented player. Now, you might shape the argument like, well, his teammates respond better for him and blah, blah, blah. And I go, my counter to that would be, yeah, but maybe in a short sample, like in a backup goaltender theory, in a Carter Hart type of theory. Oh, that's the wrong example.
You bite your tongue.
That's right, because Carter Hart is the savior.
He won another game
last night. He's won two in a row. I think he's changed the fortunes of the Flyers.
He's gonna play one of these two in the week, and they have a back-to-back.
Yes.
He's going to win that game, too. Mm-hmm. Watch out for this kid,
exactly.
Mike.
And people, I was getting tweets saying, it's an oxymoron to have the Mike Missanelli Show promoed on NBC Sports Philadelphia on Flyer broadcast. And I go, what are you talking about? I'm Mr. Hockey. Go, boys, go. Come on. All right, let's go to David in Baltimore. David, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Dave?
And first, happy holidays to you and the whole staff and the show. You guys do a great job. Honestly,
thanks, buddy.
The radio to be entertained, and I'm very entertained. And I'm gonna agree with Tyrone on something. I think what bothers me a lot about, like, look, I'm an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. I like Nick Foles. I like Carson Wentz. You know, I hope we make the playoffs. I'm rooting for this team. But one thing I don't like is that people like don't remember that it's a team game. There's no sport in the world that has this many players on one team. And like people forget, you know, against the Falcons, you do remember the defense did have to make a play at the end of the game to save our season and make sure we went on to the next round. It's not fair that people just forget about that. Like, they did have to make a big stop on the goal line.
They did, but let's get to the reality of it. You know, it's like the Animal Farm reference. All animals are equal. Some are more equal than others.
Right.
The quarterback's more equal than others.
No, and I understand that, but at the same time, like, you can't just, like, look, I'm happy the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, and I love Nick. Nick's a very relatable person. I enjoy watching him play. I actually think the Eagles are going to win this Sunday, and I think they are going to go to the playoffs. But it's a team game, and I think there's a lot of fans, and I get it, the quarterback will always get the most blame and the most credit, and I don't always think that's fair because people don't always look to, when you watch the actual game itself and you go back, there are key plays made by other players.
I get it, but I think you're wrong. The quarterback has his hands on the ball every single offensive play. Not everybody does. So the quarterback controls more than anybody else would.
That's true. But, you know, and my last point would be that it's also not fair to say that Wentz hasn't won a big game yet because he hasn't really had a chance yet. I have no reason to think he wouldn't win a big game if he had the opportunity. He hasn't had a chance.
Well, listen, man, this is where I think people go goofy because he won. Like, you don't win 11 games and not win a big game in a regular. I know the regular season games, and it says misfortune.
I meant like a playoff game.
Yeah, no, I get it, but
like, I mean a playoff game.
I get that. People keep saying that. And I go, okay, well, during the regular season, there are huge games that influence where you're going to fall in the standings, and he won major games last year. Like the Carolina game. Like, I go, that turned the season around. That forged their identity when they beat Carolina, in my view. That's it. Told me, you know what, this is a damn good team. He was the quarterback and the architect of that game. Chris and Penn Salkin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Merry Christmas, guys.
What's going on, Chris?
Great day. Just picked up all my food for my Vigalia on Christmas Eve, my little Polish tradition. Podogies, glumpki, babka, it's all good.
Oh, very good. What is the glumpki? The stuffed cabbage?
Yes, cabbage, low gravy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we say that for Christmas because we're not allowed to
Andrew,
eat
you do the glumpkis? Is that like a Lithuanian thing, too, the glumpkis?
Yeah. No, never heard of it.
No, it's not?
Never heard of it.
All right, I thought it was close.
Could be a different name.
Poland, Lithuania, they're fairly close, aren't they?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, like practically cousins.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me tell you something, Mike.
What?
I feel good. I feel good this week. And this is why. Number 52. Know what that represents?
Number 52. That's a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Nah. What? That represents how many times he's got sacked this year for the Texans. At home, I don't think we're losing four games at home in 1 year. And just like Tim McManus said today on Ant's show, they're playing loose and there's a high down there. There's a feeling down there. I don't know what it is. I don't care who it is. It could be Carson Wentz. It could be Foles. It could be Mikey Miss. And it could be Tyrone playing tight end. I just want to win.
I do too. Listen, Chris, the fears I put up, like the X and O fears I had, I also have a fear of coming down from a victory like that.
Well, this is where this falls into the trap for Foles in a positive way. Let them come. He will check off. That's one thing Carson will learn to do. Nicky Foles has no problem checking off. And everybody loves Ertz. Mm-hmm. You watch his Sunday. He's going to have eight catches.
I hope you're right, man. I don't have a good feel. I tell you. Does that make me a public enemy number? I guess it does. I tell you how I feel.
You don't have a good feel.
Don't have a good feel. Let's go to Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Thomas?
I want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, you guys.
You too, buddy.
So I want to talk about the Sixers. But first off, I've been watching Sixers Outsiders, and I want to thank Tyrone for answering my question that was about the triple-double if Ben Simmons can end his career on the top of the list.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, so...
You want to beat Wilt?
Oscar Robinson.
Oh, okay. Whoa. Okay, go ahead.
You know, the Sixers have had a favorable schedule so far, but we've lost to teams that we should have won, like the Nets twice and the Cavs. But the thing is, this team needs to prove to us, fans and the whole country that, you know, they can beat top teams. I mean, that's Toronto. They've had our number so far this year. And tomorrow night, I don't think they win. I think the Sixers win this time, and I'm guessing the score is going to be 123-120 with a J.J. Redick three-pointer.
Well, there you go. I like it, man. Now, let me say, over a long haul now, they beat them in one game. They beat it, and they could very well beat them. We'll see what the line is on that game. Do you believe that they are good enough right now to beat Toronto four times in a seven-game series?
I don't think so. Not now.
All right, we'll see. That's the
but with the bench, counts, with the bench, we need another player. Mm-hmm. But I think with Jimmy Butler, he's won the game a couple times this year. I just think that they go to someone different to come out with the win.
Well, I hope you're right, Thomas. But here's the thing: it does it really matter? I mean, the game's going to be exciting. It's going to be loud. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Until I'm convinced that they could beat Toronto four times. What do I get from a win on Saturday night? Well, I'll go down the street, get a meal, maybe. It won't be paid for. I have to pay for it myself. So what would I get out of it?
Well, what if they
would I get a notion that they're going to beat Toronto in a series?
What if they beat Toronto and Boston back-to-back?
Two regular season games?
Back-to-back. That wouldn't do anything for you?
Well, let me ask you. I'll reverse it to you. They win two individual regular season games. Would you then be convinced that they're good enough to beat Toronto in a seven-game series?
No, because they're not as good as well, either one of those teams.
That's the only thing that matters, isn't it?
Well, no.
At this point, isn't that the only thing that matters?
It's not the only thing that matters yet. They have to make a deal, obviously. But I still want to see them beat those teams.
Of course, mainly because I do,
from
too.
Simmons and Butler.
It would make
the
regular season more exciting. But right. In the end, if they're not powerful enough to win the East, what does a regular season win do for you?
Nothing.
It puts a W on your wall.
Yeah, but I want them to beat these teams, but they have to make deal because they're not good enough to
exact,
beat either one of those.
Exacta mundo. Or is it exacta?
Correcta mundo.
Correcta mundo, exactamente. Chris and Tom's River, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Chris?
Happy holidays.
You
Merry
too, buddy.
You guys. Hope you guys are going to enjoy the weekend, a long week next week. We'll talk about the game Sunday.
We're working Monday, brother.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, we're on Christmas Eve. We got a special little Christmas song thing we're going to do on Monday, in addition to talking about the Eagles' victory.
Yeah, I just said it.
Monday.
So I got a theory on this this Foles-Wentz thing. Mm-hmm. How many of these fans who actually climbed towards Foles actually don't remember what it was like post-Donovan McNabb and what we went through dealing with not having a franchise quarterback? I'm a big Foles guy. Love him. He brought us to the Super Bowl and whatnot. But, Wentz is a far better talent. Either one of them are my quarterbacks, but I want the best guy for the job, which is probably Wentz.
I would agree with you. There are some people that don't agree. And I think it's just because of the discovery theory. Like all fans want to have somebody that they discover that's their own.
Agreed. But how many fans are... Can we say like Cowboy fans, kind of just come out of the woodwork?
No. These are legit Eagle fans that love Foles. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
They love the guy. Listen, he won a Super Bowl. So I can understand the love.
Yeah.
But
when I thought it was going back in, it's coming out again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get it. There's a difference between love and reality, though. And see, you can love a guy and say, what the reality is that Wentz really is the franchise player.
Yeah, and how much of it is the jolly old Saint Nick of the Christmas season that everyone's kind of hoping for the miracle, but then that kind of comes.
Yeah, well, because they've seen it before, they saw it before, they want to see it again. They think it's possible. Miracles become a reality when you've seen it happen.
Yeah, it's true. That's definitely true. Well, here's all something else for post the game. Actually, for Monday, you might want to talk about. So we win this game, it sets up nice for us. The Vikings play the Bears, right, the following week.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 1 o'clock game.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams play at 4 o'clock, which will force the Bears to play hard that game to get to the division, because if they end up with the same record as the Rams, the Bears and the Bears.
Absolutely. So that would be viable.
Yeah, if they win.
I love the Vikings this weekend.
This weekend.
That line is screaming at me. Did I put that in one pack? I don't think I did, did I?
I don't think you did.
I didn't do that for a reason, because I didn't want to...
Yeah, bad juju or whatever.
Yeah, it was bad juju, but now that I actually published it on the air...
Officially looking at it, no, you didn't.
I didn't take that, did I?
You didn't take that, which is good. because you're not rooting against the Eagles.
What's that money line? I might have to shackle that one.
Yeah, they're going
to
win.
Make a ride over to Walt Whitman Bridge tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow won't be raining. Pop over.
Oh, I know what I'll do. I'm going to head to the Sixers game. Stop in Jersey first. Make a bet.
There you go. And pop in for the game.
Boom. All right, let's go LeVar in Mount Airy. LeVar, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. LeVar.
Happy holidays, fellas.
What's up, LeVar? How you doing?
Pretty good. So, all right, let me start by addressing good brother Tyrone.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you say a few minutes ago that you guys, this is your profession, and I get it. So what you do most, you do best. So therefore, you study this day in and day out in terms of sports, and your knowledge should be somewhat supreme to the common fan. I get that. However, I would have to give deference to Sal Powell before you, because he's been around a little longer than you. And the other day, when he was asked on this very station, are we seeing a mirage here, or is there something going on? Sal Powell said, no, trust your eyes. There is something going on. Trust your eyes. That's number one. I don't have time, so let me get through this. Number two, no way in hell Nick Foles is better than Carson Wentz. We know that. Anybody that thinks that is an idiot. However, Carson Wentz created this narrative by not winning this year, by regressing from last year. Y'all keep talking about the 11 wins he had last year, but he lost this year in big moments when he's supposed to win. The onus is not on Nick Foles as the backup. It's on Carson Wentz, because it can only be one starter, one franchise quarterback. He's the guy with the keys.
Well, first of all, let's go back to Sal Powell. We trust your eyes. What did he mean by trust your eyes?
Well, a caller asked. I was listening. Uh-huh. It was late in the evening, and the caller asked Sal Powell, "Are we seeing something, or are we being fooled when you see that the team rallies behind Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz?" Mm-hmm. And Sal Powell said, "No, trust your eyes. You're seeing."
Mm-hmm. Well, my eyes saw one game. My eyes. See, unlike Sal Powell, maybe I need a little more convincing past one game at the Rams.
True, I do too.
All right, yeah, Sal, and I have great respect for him, and we're good buddies. But he hasn't been in sports longer than me.
No, I didn't say you. That's why I addressed.
Oh, okay, all right, okay. Oh, you addressed the good brother Tyrone.
I addressed the good brother.
Oh, okay, all right.
Well,
I got you.
Well, unfortunately, LeVar, no disrespect to you or Sal. I happen to disagree, because I remember the first 2 weeks of the year, and don't be fooled by the phony Tampa numbers, because they were down 27-7 before he got any of those yards. Therefore, I've seen him be bad this year.
Uh-oh.
With my eyes.
Uh-oh.
Counter that, sir.
LeVar, the first two games you forgot about.
You skipped those, LeVar.
You skipped the first two games, LeVar.
I'm like, all day, let me finish. No, Foles absolutely, he stunk it up in the first two games. However, he's not the franchise quarterback, so the owners. So when Mike,
you're creating your own narrative, bro. Come on, man. You just created your own narrative. You just discounted the first two games. Why? Because he what? What is?
Because he's not the franchise quarterback.
The franchise quarterback. Well,
yet,
we're so you want it both ways now.
No pressure. That's why I look on the Twitter poll. 28% say he has no pressure.
There you go. That's a Foles guy. I'm mad at him for that. And my man, Adam, he discovered Foles, this guy.
Yeah, but then how
come? A lot of people have discovered Foles. They embrace him for their own. This is this proves that I know more than you. That's what the listener is saying. I embrace the guy. I know more than you. You don't know anything.
So what if, and I don't want this to happen, I'm an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. If he throws four picks, there should be pressure. There's pressure on him then, because if he's so good, as you're mm-hmm. telling me, he then has to perform in a quote-unquote big spot on Sunday. And if he didn't, he should be criticized because mm-hmm. he's so great. You can't say he's great until he's not and then ignore when he's not. And that's what they're doing. I'm fine with this as long as on Monday, if he had a bad game, people called in and say, you know what, Foles lost that for us. But they won't do that. They'll ignore it and say, oh, it was Wentz's fault, it was the defense's mm-hmm. fault, it was the coach's fault. But when they win, it's all Foles. Can't have it both ways, Folesians, but they have it both ways.
Detroit, Minnesota. Minnesota money line. -250, Tyrone. That might be a G spot for me on the money line. That's 400 honey money.
feel uncomfortable
with
that.
That's 400 honey money.
It is, but you're rooting against the Eagles.
With a G-spot. No, I'm not. Because they can still do it.
Yeah, following week, they lose to the Bears.
Yeah,
you still get in and you get $400.
Exactly.
Everybody wins. All right, do it.
That's a couple boxes of Monte Cristos.
There you go.
Right there. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, yeah. It's Rock and Country since we have Salchunas in with us today. Yeah, Salchunas is digging it. He's a country man. Mike Mastelli Show, 97.5, Fanatic NBC Sports.
I saw mommy kissing. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgot, it's not my, this isn't my show.
Who does this one, Andrew?
John Mellencamp, of course.
Oh, this is...
He's not a country guy,
though.
Is
this John Cougar?
He's not that big of a country guy.
Is it the Coug?
Yes, it is.
Oh, all right. Well, it's not country. It sounded like country when they twanged it.
Yeah, he twanged
early
it.
Early on. So last night, I was out and about, Tyrone.
Yeah.
I went to a fancy new joint called Del Frisco's Grill.
Oh.
It's the second Del Frisco's. It's on Broad Street. Very handsome room.
Very nice.
And I was on the lookout for Manny Machado last night.
Did you see him?
Did not see him. He was not there. So I need some intel. Where in the world was Manny Machado last night? Where did they take him? I was pondering maybe Davio's, maybe Ocean Grill, maybe somewhere Rittenhouse like Barclay Prime. I don't know if they would have gone to the busy joints like Park and Rouge is too small, I think.
Huh. Is there any chance?
I need some intel. Somebody had to spot him last night.
Yeah, is there any chance they went out to the main line? I'm just asking, because maybe?
And just like show off neighborhoods to his wife?
Yeah. And like while we're here, we'll go to his fine restaurant, there won't be a crowd. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I would have gotten tipped off.
If he was out there?
Yeah,
so the bro, the producer of the morning show, actually tweeted that he was hitting the saloon last night on 7th Street.
Oh, he's at the saloon. A very underplayed restaurant. Used to be the place. Very underplayed now. So he may have gone to the saloon for a nice steak.
See, I should have went. I should have did my due diligence.
A little South Philly action, semi-South Philly.
That's not bad.
7th and Catherine, wherever that is, somewhere out that way.
Huh.
Ah.
Now, something you need to know. I read a 2014 interview with Manny Machado the other day.
Uh-huh.
His second favorite food is the Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
However, his first favorite food is the New York-style pizza.
I think he is inclined to go to the Yankees.
Yeah.
And, I don't think they were going to strike a deal yesterday. The feeling out process never strikes a deal. It sometimes happens in football, never happens in baseball. What that Lozano guy's going to do is, okay, the Phillies are willing to play X, Yankees. What do you think? You can play this to the hilt.
Yeah, but not if they did what you said, put a number so big that they have to sign.
Well, I think they did that.
You think they put a number?
I don't think that they were going to sign anyway, because if he's got the Yankees as his number one and he's got a number from the Phillies, the agent's stupid not to get back to the Yankees.
Right. What I'm saying is put a number so big that the agent knows the Yankees aren't going to beat this number.
They're not going to put that number so big. Now I'm firmly convinced. They're dickering around with 300 mil. See, that was called an audible there.
But don't do that.
My brain reacted quickly there.
It's good.
That's pretty good.
I understand.
Yeah, we're good.
what else did I want to say? Last night, I was seeing a lot of tweets from a lot of Flyer fans saying that last night, despite the win, they were getting hosed by the officials.
They were.
Last night. Now, the Couturier play obviously was a hose job, but during the course of the game, The play-by-play announcer was not happy with most of the officiating last night.
I gotta be honest. I was watching. I'm not a ref guy.
Uh-huh.
I thought the Flyers,
same thing.
Yeah,
the hose last night.
It felt that way, and I was watching because I was out. I went to the company holiday party, and they had it on
mm-hmm.
at Evil Genius, and I thought that without the sound, I thought, oh, that they were getting hosed a little bit. So that's what it felt like. It's one game. It'll balance out.
I understand there were a lot of calls last night.
Yeah, you can't do that impression right now.
I'm not feeling the impression. Season. That's right.
Yeah.
But I hear there were a lot, apparently.
There were.
Last night.
Apparently.
All right. So how was the Christmas party?
It was nice. I had a really good time. Mm-hmm. Andrew was there. Mm-hmm. Dignitaries from the station. It was a good time. It was a good time.
Yeah, I had a previous engagement last night.
I know. You were out at the big restaurant premiere. Getting invites and such.
No, it wasn't a premiere.
But it was something.
It was just a gathering of friends.
Yeah.
For the holiday season.
Yeah, so I was at the party. It was a good time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, it's good. Pat and Ambler. Pat, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pat.
Mikey Miss, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Pat? Your squad last night. How about that?
It was Hartsy night.
That's right. Hartsy brought him a W.
Oh, Mike. I do have a Flyers question as well. It's in a little bit. Do you think the whole thing between Nick Foles and Wentz is because one's a mobile quarterback and the other one's a pocket passer, and maybe people in this city still like the pocket passer more than they like
But Wentz is a pocket passer. I mean, he hasn't run this year. He wasn't mobile this year. He's a pocket passer just like Foles is. Now, Foles has gotten rid of the ball quicker in his short sample, which was one game.
Right.
He got rid of the ball quicker. So the conclusion is, oh, my God, he gets rid of the ball much quicker than Wentz. But to me, see, I need more.
Right. I'm in the same boat with you. I need a little bit more. I'm still not 100%. I'm not convinced about this game coming up. I mean, like I said, It's only a matter of seconds before Nick Foles turns back to Nick Foles right now.
The problem that right now at the fan base is they don't attach the same expectations that they would on Wentz. Like, if this is Wentz, they say, well, he has to deliver. I'm not hearing the same thing, the pressure that Foles has to deliver here, because people are softer on Foles.
And that's where I agree with Tyrone, because They just said, well, he's a backup, and they give him the pass. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, well, they expect so much more out of Wentz. And then they go, well, Foles is just backup, and then you get the other
pass. Well, they want it both ways all the time.
Right. So, but Mike, I do have a little quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who's more under pressure right now? The Flyers trying to get Atlanta a quality head coach, or the Phillies trying to get one of these megastars?
Oh, the Phillies.
Oh, okay.
Way.
Because I thought maybe they had, the Flyers under pressure trying to get, Prenville in here.
No, the Flyers really have a lot to catching up to do. It's not, we're talking about next year, the Flyers and who that coach is. I mean, this guy's going to have a chance to win the job. But here's the way I look at it. I don't mean any disrespect to what happened last night and the fact that it's their second win in a row. You're going to see that kind of an effort temporarily early on when you make a change like that, because players are now like going overboard because they have to show new people that they can play. They're being judged now by two new people in charge. So it usually happens that way. And the same thing with the goalie. And I don't want to mean any disrespect to Carter Hart. Maybe he is the answer. But the first two games is that let's rally around this young kid type of thing. And you're paying more attention and being a little more conservative and making the sound plays because you don't want to screw up. This will play out over time. And Carter Hart, my God, would it be a great story if the kid takes the job. He's going to get a chance to win it. 610-632-0975. Well, I got somebody saying it. Machado was at Del Frisco's. He was at the Double Eagle. Well, I predicted that yesterday. He'd be at the Double Eagle. I was at the Grill on Broad. He wasn't there.
He must have made a couple of stops then. Because multiple people are saying what Jamie said about
the saloon.
Yeah, multiple people. So he made it. They must have took him to a couple different spots.
Post dinner drink at the spot.
Yep, they got to use the Henry Hill like secret door and walk through the kitchen up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he was being people.
Like the Copa.
Yep, that's what they did for him. Had him walk through, so he wouldn't have to go through.
Every time with you two, don't you have a job? Like that entrance.
Yes, that entrance. Manny, good to see you.
610-632-0975. What do? I mean, construction. You don't look like you're in construction. I'm a union delegate. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Some good news for the birds. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this update is brought to you by the Rosenbaum Injury Law. The power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. In 2 days, the Eagles will kick off another must-win game, this time at home against the Houston Texans at 1 o'clock. Jordan Hicks is expected to play his first game since week 11. Tim Jernigan and Michael Bennett are both listed as questionable, but they were both full participants in practice today. Unfortunately for the birds, Sidney Jones and Isaac Seumalo are officially out for Sunday's game against the Texans. On the ice, the Flyers pulled one out against the Predators last night, 2-1. Goals were scored by Jake Voracek and Claude Giroux. And the rookie Carter Hart is now 2-0 in his career. He saved 31 of 32 shots last night. Coming up on the Fanatic, Brian Westbrook will join the Mike Mussinelli Show for the entire 4 o'clock hour. And at 4:50 here, if your name is called for a chance to spin the Fanatic Holiday Wheel, the wheel will be spun at 5 o'clock. This update is also brought to you by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM, sponsored by State Farm. We know you're busy, so we've made it even easier to hear any of our shows you missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or the Fanatic app for daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Andrew Salchunas on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.